everybody. Despite open borders, staggering grocery and gas prices, and all of the talk of war, there is a miraculous revolution of health taking place across America. And that's because your body is a miracle machine, fully capable of healing itself. That's why we're here today to help you and your body do miraculous things and regain your optimum health. So now is the time for you to learn about the Magic Dycol family of products, the NanoSoma liquid spray, the Metasomer topical gel, and the Metasomer telomerase natural skin cream. Join the revolution of wellness and take back your health by signing up for our free video series at iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Now you can watch our free video series and learn how to take your health back. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. That is iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Imagine you can unleash the power of your own body to restore itself. When the Magic Dycol products trigger the nuclear receptors in your body to take care of you in ways you have never even imagined. So go log in now at iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Welcome back to the studio for the Tanya Joy Show. We are happy to see you here today. We wanted to take a quick moment and just let you know that the next episode you're going to watch is actually something that I had the opportunity to do on someone else's show. So often I get asked to come and be interviewed or be a co-host or share my story on another show. And I really love to then be able to take the work that that podcaster did and highlight it to my audience and let you be introduced to someone else, to meet someone else who is doing a similar thing, and give them more opportunities for a wider viewing audience. So that is what this next episode is going to be. Stay tuned. You're going to love it. I promise. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, well, we weren't shocked.
Over again. So welcome back to the show.
You as well. I'm so excited to have you both on the show.
And I know we had such good feedback and reception.
General Flynn, what an honor.
Joshua tracked me down in a big tent of about 4,000 people.
How are you?
I am doing so great. Hello, everybody. Thank God I am wonderfully great.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Because what is prayer?
I'm just Julie. You know what I mean? And
I'm thrilled to be here with the two of you.
Me too. It's
like, and that's who these crazies, these evil ones.
It is. You said it right. Good job.
Perfect.
All right. The Gibson sisters. We are so excited to have them on with us on Resistance Chicks today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise. These people that get higher up, sometimes I've thought,
well, these are glory days and not gloomy days.
Like, I love that.
So, you know, it kind of works.
What's awesome about the tour is people like you.
Good.
I love the applause. That's cool.
There we go.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Joy. Everybody, welcome. We are so excited. You ready to get the show on the road? Let's go.
Life can throw challenges at us, especially at moments of big transitions. How we let God continue to direct our paths in these uncharted waters is the key. We'll discuss this and much more as we interview singer, actress, and influencer Tanya Joy in this edition of God's News in the News, Unfiltered. Well, thank you for joining us once again for another edition of God's News in the News, Current Events, Biblical Perspective. Before we do anything else, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We always thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to talk to each other and then also to talk about your word and take deep dives in the words that you've given us, the words of life, the bread of life that you give to us. And we pray that this will happen today, that you'll anoint what is said, the scriptures that are used, and the message you want to get across to us. Father, I pray that you just anoint Tanya as she takes a deeper dive into this. Let her spirit be filled with the truth that you want for us today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So before we get into that, a little bit of house cleaning. There are three things you need to do before do anything else, that's like, share, and subscribe. It's almost like magic. It appears at the bottom there. It's not magic. It's a good engine. So anyway, like, share, and subscribe on the three places you can do this. Actually, it's only two because we're not on YouTube today. That'd be Rumble and Facebook. And then on X, you like the channel and repost. So do those things. It'll get it where it needs to go. Make it popular on the feeds that it needs to get to. We want this to go where it needs to go. We do our part and God will do his part. But we always have to remember, we're not building your kingdom, my kingdom, but his kingdom. As long as we keep doing that, we'll be okay. So like I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I'm not in this to make money. I'm just in this to get the word out. That's what God puts on my heart. And that's what we want to see happen here. So anyway, you do your part. I'll do my part. God will do his part. I said it once. It's still true. So as you might have figured out, we've got a special guest today. And we'll put the ticker down here because that's it. No more wandering. An interview with Tanya Joy. We're going to be talking for the children of Israel, where they were wandering, and then the end of their wandering was about ready to happen, and how God allowed Moses to give directions and what they were going to do next. So if you're at those points in time when you're at a big point of transition, you've had some promises, you've had some things that you've been told are going to happen, and you're getting ready to move into those areas. And let me go ahead, since I can hear her typing, you can hear her typing. Let's go ahead and bring her in here. So, Tanya, I'm going to put you side by side here. Get rid of that.
Sorry, you can hear my typing. My microphone is hot today, I guess. It's crazy.
Hot.
You can hear my birds outside. You can hear my typing. I was looking up some of my other notes. So, yeah, that's great. Well
that's
hello.
On our,
good to see you.
That's on me. I should have muted your mic. So that's just on me. But I just, you know, I just want to keep it real. You know, it's like everybody else wants to be so, so professional, and we want to be professional, but they're so tight and they go like, oh, I got to say, look, no, let's just be real here, folks. You know, if I have to scratch my nose, I'm going to scratch my nose. It doesn't matter. So,
I mean, quite frankly, that's what people want nowadays anyway, I believe. Yeah. I believe that the viewers are sick and tired of hearing and seeing the fake shows, whether it's news or talk shows or whatever it is, and it's all pre-planned and it's all, you know, written out, and they've got a script and they have to stick to the script, and there is value to that. I mean, you know, you're a business person, you're a preacher, you've spoken, you know, you understand, you put yourself, you put your notes together, you get your mind on the ideas that you want to talk about. But at the end of the day, to me, change and encouragement comes from relationship. And relationship comes from transparency and sharing who we are, sharing the depths of who we are. So I'm like you. When I do my show, I'm always like, you're going to hear me typing away. You're going to see me looking around and doing things. I think it's somewhat endearing. I watch the other people that, like some others, like the flyovers, who are so professional, and they've got a beautiful show. And I sometimes get jealous and I have to catch myself and go, wait a minute. I should not be jealous. I've got a good thing the Lord has done and I'm going to be grateful for it. So,
when you start getting so professional, you want to know what I did one time on a live stream, because I've got a beard here. So I got a hair stuck on my tongue and I said, I got to stop. And I pulled it out and I said, hey, I got to be real here. You know, so
for sure.
I told you about
the time as we get started that I showed up on the other set with the green shirt and they had a green screen, right?
Yes. And then I sent you that. I might have the picture. I'm not going to put it up, but yeah.
No, but that was like so funny. You just go with it.
And you know, it's not like, I mean, God blesses inspiration as well as preparation. So I get that. You know, I mean, when I do these podcasts on Israel, I type out everything and I've got all the stuff. And it's okay because I want it to be kind of a newscast kind of feel, but I still want to keep it real. And so it is what it is. You know, we're just two Christians wandering through life.
We're on our journeys and we're just we're trying to walk as Jesus told us to walk, and that means that we dive into his word, we seek his wisdom, right? We seek wisdom from Holy Spirit, and then as he downloads that, we share it. I remember years ago when I first, you know, I mean, I've been saved since I was three, so I've been a Christian for a very long time. But I didn't always study the word, and particularly deep dive study the word. And that's really only been the last four almost 5 years now, since about the summer of 2019. And so I remember when I first started diving in, and like all of a sudden, you know, you read something and it's like, whoa, and you get this amazing revelation and this wisdom, you know, wisdom of Holy Spirit falls on you. And I would just write it down. And then I started realizing, well, wait a minute, if this is impacting me, what if this would encourage somebody else? Maybe somebody else has read this, but they haven't had that revelation of this particular chapter. Just like we go hear someone else speak and they talk about a part of scripture, and you know, you sit there and you go, how did they know that I was going to be here? That they're talking directly to me. That's the power of what God does in his word. And so for me, I've gotten to the point now where when things jump out, I start to kind of develop a teaching around it, you know, and whether I share it someday or not, who knows? But I feel like that's what we're called to do, because I, you know, as we come together and talk about the word and talk about our testimonies, that's how transformation happens. That's how change happens. That's truly how we're going to make an impact on this world, you know, regardless of what's going on. That's how we ended up today. That's how we ended up here today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no chance encounters here. You know, it's like there's no coincidences. And that's something in God's economy we have to always remember. Now, it may be new to us, it may be a surprise to us, but there's no coincidences in God. You know, it's just so you people know here, you people.
Just so you followers, all of you out there on the other side of the screen. So, we love you.
Yeah, we do. We love you. The whole connection between Tanya Joy and myself was a friend of mine who I think it was like you were in Peoria, Illinois, I think, was it? With Timothy Dixon and Julie Green.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was down there. And so he went to the services. And then that's, he met you there, and then he said, hey, look, you know, I think you guys want to get together and you know, got an interview. And that's how the connection was made.
I'm glad you told that story, because I couldn't remember. I didn't know how. I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of people I meet that like months go by and they become friends. And I'm like, how did we ever meet? I don't really know. But yeah, that was, again, everything happens for a reason. Like that event, I was just there to kind of be a moderator, and then had an opportunity to share a little bit more other than ask questions. Yeah. And when we pay attention to the journey we're on, and we really pay attention to every little step of that journey,
right,
every single piece works together. It's like we're in this puzzle, right? Of every piece of our life has an impact, has the ability to make an impact, good, bad, indifferent, right? And so if we can learn to pay attention to those things, I think we can really be farther ahead in understanding what God actually has for us while we're here. Cause we're not here for like, we're not here to just live in a nice house, raise some kids, have, you know, 1.3 dogs. Like that's not why we were created. We were created to glorify God, to bring our testimony out, to share the goodness of God, to be an example, be a light in the midst of darkness, right? But that was after sin. I mean, creation, you know, you go all the way back, they were created to worship God, to just be in his presence in, you know, the garden, which is really in his presence. The garden was, you know, symbolic of completely everything we do, eat, sleep, drink, breathe, God's presence. And that's why we were created. It's just sin has taken us off that path. And so now we're in that constant battle of our soul or our flesh and our spirit. And when we get to that place where your spirit is stronger than your flesh, then you can get through things. It doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. My goodness, we're always going to have struggles. But we can go, okay, you know what? I don't have to bow. I don't have to bow to my flesh. I don't have to bow to my soul, because I know by the word of God, the promises of God, which is why we come together and actually teach and dive into the word to kind of have discussion and go, wow, look what was said here. Look what these people went through. That's our roadmap. Like last weekend I was in DC. I was out at CPAC and I drove. And I don't know if you had this happen. Did you have your phones shut off the other day? Were you part of that?
I didn't. My phone, I had no cell coverage to go out, but I had relatives that did. They found places where they could talk to me, but I had no problem at all. I had no outage at all.
Oh, good for you. Okay. So I had no service. So I was in DC. Mm-hmm. I could get on Wi-Fi, but my phone was saying SOS. Well, I'm in DC. My son is at a ski jump competition up in Michigan somewhere. And my daughter is back here at the house. So I'm like, not that I'd be, it wasn't like a fearful thing, but all of a sudden I got in the car and luckily who I was with, the girl I was with lived there. So she knew how to get there. But I realized I would have had no idea how to get to where I was supposed to be because nobody carries maps anymore. It's all digital, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of reminds me of the word. It's like, if we get that within us, then that's our roadmap. We know how to get to where we should be. And it was kind of a joke this weekend. I've got in my Amazon cart, an actual hard copy roadmap now to get and put in my car because I thought, how would I get home? I'm such bad directional person. Like I am terrible. I put my map on to go to my mom's house 15 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I need to get a map, but that's the word. Like, you know, in our life, the word of God is that roadmap. And we've really come to a point in history where very few in the church, right? And I say the church, meaning people who claim to be Christ followers, people who claim to be Christians, very, very, very few actually read the word. We don't know what's in the word anymore. Our churches, our buildings teach us out of the New Testament, right? The majority of churches teach Jesus, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, maybe you're going to get into Romans. You might probably get into Acts, depending on the style of church. You know, maybe probably you're going to get into the Corinthians to talk about how you love people. But like, they don't go deep. We don't see anymore. Well, let me rephrase that. There's very few places anymore who will open up and actually teach you out of the Old Testament, who will actually go in and teach. What did the Hebrew root of that actually mean? You know, are you teaching out of the NIV where half of it has actually been changed anyway? And so you're teaching some story that's not even complete because they've changed the words when they retranslated it. Are we considering the Apocrypha, which are real books that should never have been taken out of our Bible? Like, we don't do that anymore. And so then we have all of these people who claim to be Christ followers, who claim to be Christians, and they don't know what the roadmap is. So they're on a journey. They're on the same road. Okay. We're all on the highway. We're going to the same direction, but they don't know, oh, well, wait a minute. That lane is going to turn off to the right. And I better know which, you know, do I follow it to the right? Maybe it's a shortcut. Maybe it's a local lanes. You know, maybe I'm going to go through the downtown city and you're going to encounter all sorts of danger because you're now going to be driving through the south side of Chicago. I mean, you know, these are like why we need to know what is in the word and we need to get into it deeper and actually understand, because when we go in, and that's why we're going to talk about Deuteronomy 2 today, because when you go in there and you see what historically has God's people done, if you look deep enough and you just start reading, you're going to see that the same cycles repeat themselves over and over and over again. And the same kind of results happen over and over and over again for the people that listen and the people who don't listen, and the same types of symptoms in the world, whether it's, you know, whatever form of sin or debauchery that starts happening within the mainstream world, those same things happen based on what God's people choose to do. And so it's very important we know what God's people did so that we don't repeat the bad stuff again.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Paul said. He says, these things are examples for you. The Old Testament's examples for you. And that everything back there, that's why we have, like, there's some churches that I will not name the pastors of, but that say you don't have to have a literal Adam and Eve. You don't have to have a literal flood. You know, as long as you got Jesus resurrected, you're fine. I'm going, no, there's value in these. So, and you are correct in that we don't, you know, it's sad when we say if you teach from the Old Testament, you're taking a deep dive. It's all the word of God.
It is so sad, isn't it? And that is kind of the way so many churches look at it. It's really, mm-hmm. I mean, it's strange to me now only because I was somebody who kind of believed in that. I mean, I didn't think anything of the Old Testament other than like, okay, Esther, right? I mean, I always have looked at Esther. So that I knew her story, but even her story, I thought it was a fairy tale. I thought it was the biblical version of Cinderella. And that's how so many churches teach it. Mm-hmm. It's this fairy tale, happily ever after. Esther gets rescued by the king and she lives in the palace, and then she is in government. She has the opportunity to save her people. Wrong. That is not the story of Esther. I'm not going to go off on a rant about that today, but like, we're living in a day where we haven't been taught these things. Now, some people mm-hmm. have, of course, but I guess I'll say I wasn't, and not because of my parents, but just because of the types of churches I've always been part of. So, my favorite part of the Bible is the Old Testament, oddly. Like, I go back and reread more in the Old Testament than I do in the New Testament, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but I just, to me, when I can look at the Old Testament, I feel like I'm looking at the foundation. And then when I go into the New Testament, I can understand, oh, here's why this happened. Go back and look, go back and see, did the people, you know, the people right off the bat, I mean, gosh, in the book of Genesis, you start seeing this where God tells people what to do. And then fear comes in and anger comes in and all of the natural things in life, the emotions, and they screw it up. The people, the humans screw it up. And I mean, that's the way it is. And it's okay. We're not human, or we're not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But there is a place at which we should be bringing heaven to earth, like the Bible says, right? As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. So if we truly want that, then we as God's children need to learn how to walk in that. So I'm talking a lot. You want me to dive into the text? Because,
no,
you know, I'm 20 minutes in already.
Yes, 20 minutes in. Well, it's so
I can easily do that, as we all know.
I know, but it's okay. I'll provide a little bit of variety.
Wrote me along. Hey, come back over here. You're in the wrong stall. Get back over to this wheel.
I've got the cane. I can pull you off a little bit.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. You there.
But when you're talking about the Old Testament, that there was a phrase, a saying that I had growing up in church. Even in Bible college, it's like the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Oh, and I
so
love that.
when you put it together like that, you kind of understand. I mean, the fact that there's the only Bible that Paul had and that Jesus had was the Old Testament. So you got to remember these things.
Yeah.
But
and
it's
that's
like,
so good. And you know, it's funny because I have had people say to me, "Well, how are you teaching on that? You didn't go to Bible school." I'm like, nope, I didn't, but I do know how to read, and I do know the Holy Spirit. So, but it is funny how that is. I wish I would have, because I would know so much more.
No, and then you'd have more debt to pay off. So,
that's true. But that was a dream. And then I'll stop rambling. I would love to get my master's in theology. Like, I would love to be able to go get my master's studying, but I would want to I'd want to be somewhere where I'm studying the Hebrews and the language and like really, really, you know, the deep stuff.
Well, you know, you'll get your dream one way or the other.
So if someone has that, they're teaching that and they want to bring me along as honorary person, let me know.
Well, it's funny because in my family, you know, in my house, of course, I was the only one in my immediate family that went to college. So that was the first thing. So I went to Bible college. But strangely enough, my daughter has a bachelor's in linguistics. My wife has a bachelor's music and Bible. And now she's going back for her master's in organizational leadership.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's like, and I'm like, and I'm the flunky here, only got a 1-year Bible certificate.
Oh, that's so funny.
but see, what you have to understand is we live in the information age.
Yeah.
You can teach yourself. I mean,
yeah, we can get it online really and truly. I mean that is the most amazing thing right now.
You've got BibleHub.com or whatever it is, .org. You can get the original languages. You can get all the commentaries. Whenever I teach, if I didn't have the internet, I would be lost.
Yeah.
Except
but you know, don't you get worried? I mean, I will say I'm always very cautious of the website I go to because in this world now of AI and the censorship, they are writing things, they're changing things. So in a website, even I'm like, I just always be cautious of the website because you just never know. And I just get nervous about that. But
Well, whatever. But because I always have my grounding, my understanding of the word. If somebody mentions a scripture, people send me because I've got a little bit of a presence online, not nearly as big as yours, but when people send me things, I get people sending me emails, they're sending me links to this, links to that, and I go through them all as best I can. But, you know, one person sent me a video about something. I'm not going to mention it because, anyway, though, the example is basically this. It sounded really, really good, but something went, that doesn't sound right. And then I researched it, did my search on it, and all of their main points that they were so good about making and so smug about it were all wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I sent a message back to the person. I said, I really appreciate you wanting to help me out on this. But they weren't correct. And it's like, you gotta check your sources. Whenever you listen to a 30 or 60 second TikTok, whatever.
Right.
You got, they're throwing out just like this. They only have a certain amount of time they can throw it out.
Yeah.
Well, you got to make sure what they're saying is correct. And
100%
so, agree. But I mean, we live in a wonderful age. I don't want to ditz going to websites and things. Just, you got to know what you're reading.
No, me neither. This is why, though, if you get in the Word, you know, if you're in your actual Bible at the same time, then you're going to, you're going to know. And it's all good. It is. I love it. I love that I can go online and, you know, even with today's text, not just read the text, find commentaries, but then go in online right at my house and figure out, well, what was Mount Seir like? What was the valley like? What were these people like? You know, see their family trees. I mean, instantly, which is just amazing. That is seriously amazing.
Yeah. And that's why I have these on that shelf right below the statues there. Those are all commentaries.
Are they really?
Yeah, those are all commentaries. Yeah. Yeah.
Like biblical commentaries?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wow, one's the Old Testament. They're like old thesauruses.
Yes, dinosauruses.
Oh, wow. I need to get something like, but you know what? I like those. There's another thing online that I follow and watch a lot. They're phenomenal. It's called The Torah Teaching, and it's a university style. It's on YouTube. It's free. And it goes through Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, and every book of the Bible in a university. It's a university and they filmed it. So I go through those a lot, honestly, and learn so much. All right, you want me to dive into this?
Yes, please. Here we are, 23 minutes in. Let's go ahead and dive into what we've been talking about. We've been dancing around it. So God gave you a teaching on Deuteronomy chapter 2. And for those who want to know about it, that's when they're getting ready. They've been wandering in the desert for, 38 plus years. And they finally are getting ready to go in the promised land. And this portion of the Bible is getting them ready for it. So I think if I got that background correct. So go ahead and take us into the deep dive.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. And like just for reference for people, so this is like obviously the second chapter in Deuteronomy. When Deuteronomy starts, it's kind of like Moses is recapping. It's like a recap again of what they already went through in Exodus, right? So when they left Egypt, when they were set free and their journey. So these chapters are they're like a condensed recap, if you will. And so I'm in the process. I've been reading the scriptures chronologically. So I'm kind of back at the beginning. I always start in the Old Testament. So that started for me like around December-ish. And so that's why now I'm back in Deuteronomy. And when I was reading this chapter, there were some things that just stood out to me so much. And I just, what happens is these things will stick out and then I start pondering them. And I'm like, what does that mean, Lord? Like, what did these people think? And what, wow. And then that's usually where something will develop. So anyway, I'm going to just read it first. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 7. I may go a little farther. Sorry, guys. I may go a little farther down in there, but we'll see. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. That's one of more my favorites other than, like really old King James or New King James, but I usually stick to New Living. So it says, remembering Israel's wanderings. Okay. Now remember Israel, that term, that's the people of God who have been renamed Israel because they've chosen to basically follow God's ways. And that, comes from the past. We're not going to get into that. Okay. So it starts and it says, then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness towards the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me. And we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. Then at last the Lord said to me, you have been wandering around in this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Give these orders to the people. You will pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. The Edomites will feel threatened, so be careful. Do not bother them, for I have given them all the hill country around Mount Seir as their property, and I will not give you even one square foot of their land. If you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched over your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. And then it goes on and it says, so we bypassed the territory, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir. We avoided the road through the Arabah Valley that comes up from Elath and Ezion Geber. And then as we turn north along the desert route through Moab, the Lord warned us, do not bother the Moabites, the descendants of Lot. Okay, so I'm going to stop there. There's a couple of things. Now, the Emites, who are kind of part of this region, there are Nephilim in there. They're the giants. They're part of the race of the Nephilim that still live. So now all of a sudden, you know, the Nephilim are back. We've already gone through, we've already gone through the time of the flood when the Nephilim were destroyed, and yet they're back. Okay, so that's a whole other teaching, but just be aware of that. So I want to go back to the very start of this, because what happens is, like, I hear all these little bits and pieces and then I want to stop. But I did really good. I didn't stop. I read the whole thing all the way through. So the very first line is so interesting to me, because it says, then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea. So yes, the Lord told them to do this. But can you imagine, they are wandering around and they turn and go backwards? Like, they're now heading. They spent this time wandering, going back through the wilderness they had already come through. They had already gone through it. They had already crossed the Red Sea, and the Lord tells them to go back. That was so, was an aha moment for me, I guess, when I read this and studied it, because I thought, hold on, I don't know that I would be real happy having gone through, you escape from slavery, you escape from Egypt, you come up to the, Red Sea, which looks like, you got to be kidding. And now they get through the Red Sea, and then they turn around and go back across the same wilderness, back towards the Red Sea. Like, that, in my mind, had to have been difficult. Like, if, in the stage of life where we're at, because I always like to relate all of this to where we are in life. So we have all been wandering. We're in this season in our world that is uncomfortable, right? Post, I won't say the word, but post 2020, we're in a new season, and we've been wandering kind of through this wilderness going, Lord, what the heck is going on? Where are you? And many times he's going, go back that way. And you're like, why am I going back towards the direction I came from? And then he, watches them wander. Now, Mount Seir, they wander around this region, right? And this is all kind of part of this 40 years. But Mount Seir is a very, very, I said trepidatious before. I don't know if that's really the word or if that's a proper word. But it's very mountainous. It's very, it's kind of between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. But in that region, it's very difficult to traverse. It's not an easy space to walk through. And so think of the things we have been walking through. I think when I think of the wilderness, I think of, and I could be, obviously I was wrong in this, but I used to think it was like a desert. Like, they're walking through this big desert land and it's dry, and there was some desert. But this region of Mount Seir is not like that. It is steep. It is a difficult terrain to cross. It's, mountainous. It's very, very, if you look it up online, it's very, very mountainous and dangerous and difficult to go through. And that's what these people were going through. They were not just out in this desert wasteland. They were out in this wilderness of highs and lows and danger and, you know, who knows who's around the next corner. And I mean, that was the reality of what this region was like. So then after all that, so that's only the first little line, right? Then verse two, it says, at last the Lord says to me, and the Lord, so again, and I've talked about this when I'm on my show and I deep dive. Here is, it's the Lord in all capitals. So this is referencing the part of God who is the God of the harvest. So he's like it's the reaping part of God. It was translated out of Yahweh, I believe, but it also signifies the God who is going to bring in that which was sown, good and bad. So when you see that word all capitalized, that's what that part of God that they're actually talking about. So this God, this part of God, right? And they're all one. Like, I hope I'm not confusing people, but God has many personality traits, just like we do. We've got different character traits about us. This is one of his traits. But he says to them, you've been wandering around this hill country. And again, like when you think of those words hill country, it does not do it justice for what this land is truly like. Okay. But he tells them, you've been wandering around long enough. Now turn to the north. And I didn't deep dive into north, but I mean the north, like, you know, that's kind of when you think of, what do we think of the north going? It's kind of going the right way, you know, heading, I forget that phrase. There's an actual phrase that's tied to that. But, you know, it's kind of like, there's a lot of meaning in that, in just that word alone. And he says, give these orders to the people. You will pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites. Okay, so we could just stop right there. You're going to go through some land and see your relatives. So now all of a sudden we have to ask, are those good relatives? Are they bad relatives? Do we like those relatives? Do they like us? Like, you know, we sometimes read through the scriptures and we just pass through that and we don't even pay attention, especially to the names. I at least for me, when I was reading the word and have read the word for, you know, these last few years, I would always skip the names because I was like, I don't know who that is, whatever. But the names are so vital because that tells us who those people were. So these are the relatives that are the Edomites who descended from Esau. So now we've got to go back and think, who was Esau? Esau and Jacob, they were the twins, right? Esau grabs Jacob's ankle when they're being born, okay? And then buys his birthright, which creates the Edomites. He tricks his father. He's not necessarily the favored son, put it that way, right? We know when we hear our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? We don't hear Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau was the wayward son, basically, like kind of the one that went off the tracks. His people are the ones who kind of go into the culture. They end up being part of the culture. They bring in false worship. They bring in idols. They allow these things to come back, but they're still their relatives. So now these people that are getting ready to cross through, these Israelites, they are the descendants of Jacob. That is who they are. And they're going to come up against the ones that were descended from Esau who don't follow their ways. They're not happy about them. They don't want to see them. And they're not ones who have been willing to lay down their lives and follow the instructions that God gave, the things that, you know, the Ten Commandments, all of these things. This grouping of people did not want to follow along that path. And so they have turned this whole land into a very different kind of land than what the Israelites would be used to. And so now the Lord's telling them, you're going to cross through this. You're going to walk through the world, if you will, the way of the world, the way of people that don't do things the way I've instructed. So to me, we could almost pause there and kind of go, we're kind of living in a time period like that, where our world is really overrun by Baal worship, anti-God, anti-Christ mindsets, free will, you know, not wanting to actually follow the way of the word, but actually create, you know, create their own world, create their own laws. We're living in that right now. And that's what the Israelites had to walk through. They had to go through that land. And he says, the Edomites are going to feel threatened. That to me is fascinating. You would, if I put our current modern day world, okay, let's say I was just in DC. I mean, you know, I was in the swamp. So you imagine being in that environment and like, I would be the one that would feel threatened. Like me being there was like, okay, watch your back, be very careful. You know, don't go into the city at night. Like, you know, it's a trepidatious type of environment. And the word is saying those people, the Edomites, will feel threatened by your existence there. And so he says, be careful. That's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I maybe this is a tangent, but I kind of wonder, though. I've been to D.C. a few times. I mean, there's a spiritual battle going on there. Now, at the time, I wasn't sensitive to it. I'm pretty sure now if I went there, I'd be going, okay, I feel this, I feel that. But this is, I call this God's News, the News Unfiltered. So don't feel like you have to mince your words when we talk about this. So don't worry about this. Unfiltered is a code buzzword for not on YouTube. Uh-huh. So just so you know here. So, I hear these talk of people that are trying, they're going after Trump and they're going after, and actually from what I have heard is that the World Economic Forum, is actually going to start targeting Christians, but not just Christians, Pentecostal Christians, right, those that speak in tongues. And you go, why would you target these people to discriminate against them, to make them look bad? It's because they fear us.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about there. And the same thing, this whole motif of fear is also seen, because you're not talking about Joshua today, but if you read in Joshua, the very first chapter, there's this motif of fear. These Israelites that they had heard about all the stuff that had happened to them, the cross, the Red Sea, the warded, and the people in Jericho were fearful of them. What are we going to do? You see 2 million people coming and you hear all these word pass and travels. And and all the Israelites were looking at it going, this wall is so big, it's so fortressed. How can we possibly take it over? So they're living in fear, but they don't realize that the people they're going against are more fearful of them. And I think that's a lesson for us as Christians as well, that we need to realize they're attacking us because they fear us, not because of anything else. They're not stronger than us. They realize if we ever realize our full potential, why would you want to target Pentecostals that can speak in tongues, that can pray? It's because they fear us.
And because that's they know there's power in it. You don't fear unless there's a power. So the fact that they would even say that is interesting, because that goes to show that they believe, the enemy believes there's power in the tongue. The enemy believes there's power in the Pentecostal, you know, roots or whatever you want to say. Yeah. And again, like we said, nothing is new under the sun. So it's the same thing. That's why I love going back into the Old Testament and looking at some of these things, because it's the same thing over and over again. It's just, we read it and we don't have always the ability to take what we read and bring it into our modern day and go, oh yeah, that's totally exactly what we're seeing. That's what we're walking through.
Well, sometimes, you know, when you do your, I mean, I'm not against this. Please don't, if you're hearing this and I'm talking about a 1-year Bible plan, I'm not making light of it. Consistently being in the Word of God is a good thing. But I think what happens sometimes is we don't take the time to pause and think about what really is happening. I think this is what you did. You're taking this Bible and say, hey, what you're trying to put yourself in that situation. And this is what I really want Christians to understand something. We may look like we're insignificant, we're not very small, we're small, we can't do anything, but the enemy doesn't see it that way. So go back to what we're talking about here. You know, God is telling them, you know, these Edomites, and then I think it's also going to go down to who are the other people there? Anyway, though, the
Moabites. They're all the same. Yeah.
Right. But you have to understand something. when these Israelites are coming across, if you looked out your back door, your front door, whatever, and you saw 2 million people coming down the road, you would be scared.
Right.
And that's what the world sees when they see they look at us and they go, these guys got a lot of power. Let's not poke the bear. And then they start going, well, if we can't poke the bear, let's sedate the bear.
Yeah.
You know, let's take the claws off the bear. That's what we're going to try and do. And we don't realize the authority that we have as a believer. We can take down all these things.
Yeah.
But God is saying, look, they're afraid of you. Treat them nice. I've got other things for you.
Yeah. And that's hard, I think. I mean, you know, I think that's hard for a lot of us, especially in the days that we're in, to, you know, because we see in these days separation, we see judgment, we see pointing the fingers, you know, and it's easy to do because they do it to us. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, terrible things said about me and to me and threatened to me and all of that. And the easier thing is to fight back and be like, oh, you know, that's, well, you do this and you're doing that and you're sinning because like that is definitely it sort of the knee jerk that most people would want to do. But at the end of the day, that's not what we're really supposed to do. And I mean, when we recognize, wait a minute, they're going to feel threatened. They're going to be the ones actually nervous about this. That can sometimes change your mindset about something. That can create a sense of confidence that maybe you didn't have before. And so it goes on. He says, be careful. And it says, do not bother them, for I have given them. And then this is interesting. See, the Lord gave Esau land. He gave him, you know, that's a very, it's, I sometimes struggle when I think back about those things. It's like, wow, that's really hard to think about. But that's what the Lord still blessed them. He gave them their land. He gave them a place to live, to be, to work, to grow, to be in charge. He gave them that. So the Lord says, I gave them all of the hill country around Mount Seir as their property. So I take that as, here are these people, these Israelites, they've been wandering around. Now they're told, okay, you're going to walk through this land to get to where you're going. This is your relatives. You're going to recognize them. Like, you know, these are your relatives. So you probably know some of them. You're probably going to be like, hey, wait a minute. I think I knew that person, but they may or may not want to talk to you, whatever. They're scared. They're threatened. And he says, this is all their land. And I gave it to them. Then you have to come to reconcile, like, God gave it to them. Why would God have given them this land? You know what I mean? But he did. He gave them. And he says, I will not give you even one square foot of their land. To me, that was interesting because it was almost the sense that I got when I read that is like that God is going, this is their land and I will protect their land for them, even though they're not doing things my way, even though they're, you know, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. You're not going to touch one part of their land. I'm not going to give it to you. That's heavy to think about, you know? And then he goes on, he says, if you need, and this part is also really interesting, if you need food or water to drink, pay them for it. And when I read that, I had something come up in me that kind of was like, wait, what now? Pay them for it. I don't want to pay my enemies. Like, these are your enemies. I don't want to pay my enemies. Like, are you kidding? And that's what the Lord says. The Lord says, pay them for what you need. There's a lot that could probably dive into that, but that one little sentence, verse 6, if you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it. Now, these people have been wandering. I know they've got gold and silver and, you know, they were able to plunder when they left Egypt. But now this is 40 years. So do they still have all of that? Like, they've not necessarily been able to work to make more money. So now they're going through a familiar land of their ancestors and they're being told, and they know that these are not really great people. And now they're being told, pay them, make sure you pay them, which in another way, I believe is honoring them. They're actually being told to honor those people, the Edomites, even though it's anti what they believe, even though they're doing things that are bad. So that was a section of this that actually that one little line is what stirred this whole thing for me. Because when I read that line weeks ago now, I was like, what? Like, so sorry.
So what we are talking about there was, and it was interesting because I kind of wanted to jump in here. When you look at this whole thing about the Moabites and the Edomites, you know, when you look at the, there's a commentary here, it says, meddle not with them. That's one of those scriptures. Basically, mm-hmm. don't battle them at this time. And so what I got out of that was, yeah, treat them nice here. You can, they're going to be dealt with at a later time. But as for you at this point, don't pick that fight with them now. That's going to come later. I've got something else for you to do.
Yes.
And so I thought that was a good thing, especially in light of what we're going through now as believers and having to fight this and fight that. You know, you go to these Reawaken America tours and you go there for 2 days and you're just ready to just jump in them. I'm going to fight them now. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to get a horse. And then you go back and you go,
yeah.
And then so you have to find like, you know, you go, oh man, my church doesn't deal with this. I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that. And you go, you load it for bear. You want to go back and do something. And it's like, no, God's saying, slow your roll, pick your battles. Yeah. I'll tell you. He's, you know, if it's something where you have to go back and say, I want to talk to the leadership and go, why aren't we talking about this? Mm-hmm. Or why are we talking about this way? Oftentimes God will say, no, I'll take care of that. You take what you learned and do this and put your energy there. And that, to me, that's essentially what he's telling the Israelites to look, they're afraid of you.
Yeah.
Treat them nice. Because it'll do two things. First off, it's like what Paul says. You're going to pull hot burning coals on their heads by being nice to them.
Yeah.
And by praying for them. That's kind of what he's doing here. He's saying, look, don't fight them. Don't meddle with them right now. There'll be a time. I'll deal with them.
Yeah.
But now is not
the time. And it's interesting. I think that, you know, the concept, realization that they, that the, because I changed over now, even when you look at like the New King James Version, it says they will be afraid of you. That's an interesting thing, because how many times are we in situations where we may take it personally, or we may feel like, oh, why are they, you know, they're attacking us, or they're, you know, whatever we may think, when in actuality, it's based out of their fear. It's based out of the fear that's in those other people, because they're not walking in line with the Lord, right? I mean, that's a symbol right there. If they're afraid of you, they're afraid of your God is really what they are. They're afraid of the God that's within us, which shows us that that our God is powerful. He's got power. He's got standing. You know what I mean? And it's an important thing. Again, it kind of goes back to the beginning when we were talking and I was saying, we're here to bring God glory. That's it. We're not here to go to work and, you know, get a nicer house. I mean, those are all bonuses and, you know, go on vacation. Those are all great things. And I'm not saying you can't do those, but we have to recognize that the root of why we're here is to bring God glory and to worship him and honor him. And so we have to know how to do that in the midst of all of this daily routine and daily life. And as we learn to do that more, the more likely others that are not following that will be afraid of you. And so there's so much in there that, you know, like you could literally, of course, take the one line and build, you know, a 3-point sermon around it. But it is, there's so much depth. And I love how you were saying, this is not your land. It made me think, don't settle for it. God's going, yeah, I know, like you're going through, but the fact that he would have to tell them, this is not your land. I'm not giving you any of this land, not even one footstep, he says in the New King James. That says to me that the people were maybe talking or thinking, oh, maybe that we're going to take some of this land. Because otherwise, why would he have to say to them, you're not getting any of this. This is not yours. That would say to me that they had something in their mind that thought, this is my land. I'm going to get some of this land, kind of a thing. And then on top of it, the settling part. So I think about it, you know, with, and you know, I mean, we've talked about this, like my world of acting and singing and all of these things. And there's so many times over the last 2 years that I have thought, I just need to go get a job. I got to just go back to corporate America. I'll just call some of my friends. Let me just get a job. Like I worked in HR. It shouldn't be that hard, right? And every time I go to do that, reach out to somebody, apply. I have applied for work. I literally hear this small voice of the Lord that goes, don't you dare. This is not the land I've told you you are to be in. You are not to go back to that anymore. You're going somewhere new. But in that in-between stage, in that transition, that's where the Israelites were. They were in transition. They weren't to the promised land yet. They were on the way. They were farther. They were already through the wilderness. They've been through the Red Sea. They're closer, but they're not there yet. And so the Lord is also going, this is not yours. Don't settle. Imagine if they would have at that point in time gone, we're going to take some of this land. We're going to just leave some houses here. We're going to build some tents. And I'm tired. I've been doing this for 40 years plus, and I'm just done. And like I got to rest. And I'm just going to stay here for a little bit. They would have forfeited the good, the excellent, the promise that God actually had for them. So that is, to me, another very, very important thing that as we are all on this journey, and everyone's got a different place, like every one of you watching or listening have a different place, a different calling. Some of us, we may end up on similar paths. We may be like, hey, Dave, yeah, we're on the same, hey, let's do the shows together. We're kind of in the same. But then some are going to be like, oh, yeah, no, like I'm like called to be a teacher. And like, yeah, it's hard, but I got to stay there. Or I'm actually called to be in business. And I mean, I'm working for this huge organization, but that's the journey. That's the path you're supposed to be on. So we need to know very clearly from the Lord, what is the land he has given to you and your ancestors? Where is it that he has destined for you to be? And on top of it, I believe also we're in a season where a lot of people are being called out of the land they used to be in, and they are getting ready to walk into a new place, a new sphere of authority, a new journey. And we can't settle until we get there. So don't stop. Don't land in the place where you're not called to be.
And you're right. There's so much here. I mean, but when you try, here's the thing. I would just tell you, if you're reading your Bible, if you're like me, I always want to know more about it. I always want to put myself in their position and understand. So Moses also was told by God to tell him, hey, look, you know, it's time to move on. Now, understand something, though. Those 40 years, there's an awful lot of funerals. There's an awful lot of people right. that they knew died because those people had something they could not take into the new nation. And God said, I mean, actually, in the context, if you read through the rest of the chapter of Deuteronomy, he says, I wanted to get rid of every single one of them. And when the last of those people that did not want to go in the promised land, when they were finally dead, they were finally gone, then they can move on.
Yeah.
And it's like, so there, people are like, hey, look, you know, the last of my relatives are gone. There are people that are in your life that are going to hold you back.
Yeah.
And you have to let them go. Yeah. And it's like, and even holding on the memory, there's something they want to do. They want, well, this is where this person died. This is where this person died. I want to, it's like, no, you've got to move on. I've got something for you. The other thing that you said that I thought was kind of a good point to kind of highlight here was, there are things that you want now, and it seems to make sense now, but God says, wait.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you later, but you can't have it now. I've got something else for you. And I face this too because and we know in these podcasting things, like everybody's got a podcast now. We're trying to carve out our own place in this whole thing. And then three more people suddenly have it and they don't need it. It's like, hey, how come they got all that attention? I need that attention.
I know. Or they're making tons of money and they're like, oh, this is great. I'm making, you know, six figures already. Like, how much are you making? nothing. And I've been doing this for 3 years and I can't stop because God keeps telling me I'm supposed to keep doing it. Yeah. Like it is, it's a very, but it's everybody's journey. We're all on our own. We're all our own journey, you know, part of the thing.
And see what you're not getting now and you're envious of somebody else. God says, look, I'll get you there, but I got to do this over here. Yeah. And so until God tells you to do something different, you stay with the orders he gave you. And, I like to use everybody else's for an example, but I can only tell you what I've gone through. Yeah. There was a moment my wife and I sat down. We go, should we keep doing this? Should we keep doing that? We're putting all this time into this. Is that something? And I thought, well, there's a way to do this. So I reached out to somebody that I'd interviewed before. And when I interviewed them, I had like hardly anybody as subscribers, and I almost tripled and quadrupled the amount of subscribers.
Wow.
From one interview, because that person was so popular. And then I tried to get them again and they said no. And I was kind of, I was deflated because I thought, well, this is my next step here. And the Lord told my wife, says, you don't need that person anymore. You don't need that path anymore. God wants you to do this over here. You need to expand over here and quit doing this. And I was always thinking, you know, like interviewing people. I was like, oh, I'm trying to interview this person. And I kept getting closed doors. And finally, God just woke me up one day and said, look, in your church, there are testimonies.
Yeah.
You interview them. And so now I've got an interview with somebody who miraculously was raised from the dead in a park that we went to. Testimony, went to heaven, came back. And that person... And this all happened in the last couple of weeks that they came back up and they said, hey, look, that video that you did, you know, this church over here is using it for a teaching for 5 weeks. And then another person came up to me and said, you know, because I've been doing this update on Israel every day.
You've been so faithful at it.
Up to 143, three times. I'm like, what the heck? Amazing. But that's what God told me to do. And somebody came up to me and said, I've watched them all the time. I've watched every single one of them. I want to tell you in person that I really appreciate this. I like what you're doing. And I'm starting to hear these people talk and tell me, hey, look, we see what you're doing. We're supportive of it. We're watching. It's making a difference. Because you and I both know, we don't know who watches these things.
Exactly. And even when you see the numbers, I mean, I'll see some and I'm like, oh, okay. And then you're like, yeah, that's probably not even the real numbers because they mess with the numbers. I mean, seriously, like my Rumble numbers have all been messed up with. I don't know what the heck is going on. But you know what? If you make a difference, when I was out at CPAC, I ran into another friend who also does a podcast from the Vegas area. And we were chatting in the hallway, like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. And he goes, hey, really funny. I was in the elevator last night when I got here and we're going up the elevator and some people are in there and they start talking about you and how they just love your voice. And man, you're such a good singer. And I'm like, wait, what? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, and I turned to him, I go, oh, you mean Tanya Joy? Yeah, I know her. Like, how random. Like, how does it, I don't know how anybody knows. I mean, nobody should know me based on my numbers. Like, let's just put it reality. Like, I don't have a big following at all compared to what's really going on out there. But that happened. So you just never know the one or two people who you touch, who you say something and it encourages them. And again, it goes back, the power of our testimony, right, is so great. And it's what brings change. It's what brings freedom. And so that's, I know for me, it's why I talk about the hard things. It's why I expose things in my personal life that have cost a lot. It's a great cost to talk about things. But if my story will give hope to one person, then I will tell my story. And so that's, you know, I'm not arrived. I've got a long way to go. I am still in the midst of being transformed. I can't wait till I'm farther than I am now. I can't wait till my spirit is stronger than my flesh in certain areas where I get anxiety. But I know that that's coming if I keep just doing what I'm doing. And that is seeking after the Lord, getting into his word every day, asking for wisdom, asking for Holy Spirit to teach me through the word and comfort me. I know that then tomorrow I'll be farther than I am today, right? And that's the journey. That's what it's all about. So now going back to this text, we're only through verse 6 put it that way. We're through verse 6. The great thing is now verse 7, and I'm actually going to read this part in New King James. Sorry, guys, I'm changing, but I opened up New King James, and now I like it. So it says, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through the great wilderness. And these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing." And if I go back to the New Living, I'll go back as well and read that verse. "For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you and you have lacked nothing." Y'all, I mean, my best friend reminds me of this all the time. When I get like, oh, you know, the bills are coming and there's no more money coming. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she starts laughing and she goes, "Tanya, I have watched this journey for the last 2 years since you've lost your job. He always provides for you. You've never lacked." Now, maybe I've lacked being able to go to the beach or, you know, do things, buy new clothes or something like that. But that's not really lacking, right? I've had what I need when I need it. And that is what God's people experienced. And the longer I walk through this journey, which I would call my wilderness season or my faith journey, living by faith, you know, and it's kind of funny because I don't know, Dave, you probably think this too. I would assume we kind of have this like living by faith as like a bad term, bad word, like, oh, you live by faith. Like, oh, you live by faith. Like it's almost gotten a derogatory term, but that's how we're supposed to be living, people. We're supposed to be living by faith. Like we're supposed to every day, every step, every moment, even if you've got a corporate job, even if you're making millions of dollars every year or every day or whatever it might be, I would encourage you to be sure that every decision you are making, every purchase you are making, you are checking with the Lord and making sure it's what he wants you to use your money for, making sure that this is the path he wants you to be on, because it doesn't matter if you're a multimillionaire or you're a poor little church mouse. We are called to live by faith and seek him in all our ways. And he has shown, and again, when you go through the text and you start going further down, he says it many times. There's this reminder, you know, we know this, where the Israelites forgot to remember. That's why they end up going down. One simple thing, they forget to remember all that God has done. So we see in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, the Lord has blessed you. He has never let you go. He has been with you every step. You have lacked nothing. And they know that. They've walked it. And yet these very individuals, eventually, when they get into the promised land, and we're not going that deep, but when they get into their promised land and things start getting good, they forget. They forget to remember. And then things start going bad. And we can look at that in our world right now. And again, it goes back to the beginning when we're talking about Christ followers who aren't getting in the word, and I see this so often, we get our mindset on certain hot topics, right? Certain things that are going on. Well, yes, I mean, I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice because everyone should have their own free will. That's forgetting to remember what God has said right there. Well, yeah, you know, this push for transgenderism. Well, I mean, we got to love everybody. And maybe those scriptures that talk about, you know, men should not be dressed in women's clothes, you know, it's another part in Deuteronomy. Maybe that's really not what it meant. It was actually really related to that day and time. You guys, that is forgetting to remember. Those are the tiny things that happen. We start to shift our mind, very tiny, one decision at a time, one issue at a time. We forget what God has told us. We forget the warnings he gave. He didn't, you know, God didn't give these laws. They didn't give the Ten Commandments to just have a bunch of laws so that everybody lives miserably. That's not what they're for. And they weren't even, because they aren't necessarily how you get to heaven. It's not got anything. It's God knew that if you made these decisions, how they were going to impact your physical life and physical body while you're on earth. He knew that if you had other gods above him, you're not going to live a prosper, full, abundant life because you're not seeking his ways. He knew when he said, you know, you should not covet or steal or look on another man's wife with lust, that that's because if you do that, it's going to ruin your current marriage. It's going to ruin your current relationship. And you're going to have stuff you got to deal with that you wouldn't have to deal with if you just didn't do those things. So we have to remember these things, and we can't forget what God instructed or what he has done, because he has gone over and above. And when you start actually paying attention to the things he's done, and I think we talked about this on here before. I know I talked about it on another show, being gratitude, having gratitude, being thankful, living in a space of gratitude, living in a constant space of, and I like to explain it to people. When I started this, was around Thanksgiving, and I just started all day long, every little thing I could. Oh, Lord, thank you for the sun. Gosh, thank you so much for the sun today. And then the sun would disappear and it'd get cloudy again, you know, and then I'd be like, oh, well, thank you that it's, you know, not raining or whatever. Thank you for my dog. I mean, literally, I started this space of just trying to be grateful for things in the smallest things that I could find. Thank you for my warm coffee today. I'm so grateful I have a good glass of coffee. Thank you that I have a computer, that my computer's working. Thank you that the internet is working. I can get some stuff done. These little tiny things. And I will tell you, those little tiny things turn into snowballs. And all of a sudden it really starts, and I hate using this word because it's such a big cliche, cultivation, you know, cultivate this spirit of gratefulness, cultivate this, but it really is true. It's like a snowball effect. And when you start to do that, you start to remember all the good things God has done. It is so easy to forget. It is so easy for me to look back or not look back, to get in my moment and forget God's taken care of my bills for 2 years. Like on paper, it does not make sense. I'm a finance person. It does not possibly make any sense on paper that I am still where I'm at today. It's all a miracle. Every single step God prepared, created, blessed, took care of me, you know, all of these things. And it's very quick to forget those things. And I love, that's why kind of I ended with that verse 7, because that's what we have to remember, because if we don't, that's when it leads to destruction.
Yeah, and that's a good place to tie a ribbon or a bow on this whole thing, get my cliches right, because you just mentioned cliches there.
Well, that one's not as bad as the cultivate. I hate the cultivate. I always say it, but I hate
yeah.
It.
Yeah, as you know as well in all these podcasting things that, you know, we tend to use the same phrases over and over again. Yeah. One of mine is, but I digress. Somebody actually bought me a t-shirt with that on it.
Nice. You know?
And so it's like, I've got all sorts of, what was that down there?
Oh, t-shirts.
He wants me to develop merchandise so he can have a t-shirt with on it. So anyway,
yeah,
but whatever. I mean, yeah. I'll get there.
Eventually. I know I've been wanting merchandise for 3 years. I have one thing I created that says Modern Day Esther. And it's an adorable bag and logo, but
yeah,
I need to figure out how to build it in and put it on my website so that people can buy it if they want.
It's the crazy things that happen to us. And you know, you've been blessed by finances. You've been blessed by people being in your life to encourage you and show you and help you remember, hey, look, I've watched your journey for 2 years.
Yeah.
You don't see the miracles that are happening around you, but I do. God will have a season where he will remind you. He knows when he says, you forget to remember, well, God will bring people to help you remember. And so you pray for those times. I'm going through one of those times right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm like, hey, you know, and there are times there's going to be, I'm just going to pray this over you. I'm praying that God will give you a season of opening and blessing and prosperity to show you that he's in it. Now, it may not last for a long time, but I believe you're going to have that happen to you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just praying that over you. You know, it's like Jonathan the Armor Bearer. Perhaps God will go with us. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But we need those seasons. You know, we need that person to be in our lives that says, hey, look, you know, you're doing a lot more than you think. You're making differences here. And so there are times when it's plainly obvious that we're making a difference. There's a lot of times when we're like going around going like these Israelites. Hey, look, you know, You know, I've known their kids that were born during the wilderness, yeah. All they've known is this wandering.
Yeah.
And they've always heard their parents before they died, hey, we got a promised land coming. You know, let's have that sit down. And then somebody has to tell them the hard truth. There's a promised land coming. You're going to get to go to it. I won't.
Right.
You know, there's all sorts of hard things like that.
There's so many hard things. I think of that with my daughter because, you know, she's getting ready to graduate and go off to college next year. And she has had to live through a wandering, a wilderness season. It's been very, very hard. And so because of that, she has a very hard time believing it can be different because all she's known is that. And it's the same thing. I tell her all the time. God has so much. You're not going to have that future that you had growing up. It will be different. I know it. I can see it. Like, it's the same thing. Yeah. And it's very much like the promised land. I believe wholeheartedly that this time next year, our world is going to look very, very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And our children are going to get to live their adult lives in that land that's flowing with milk and honey, which is really
it's beautiful. Always good. It's always better when you do that. So, tell you what, I have no idea how long this has gone because I'm going to have to edit things, but that's all that, you know, but I really feel like
we're right around an hour.
Whatever time we're at, I think right about now is a good time for us to go ahead and tie a ribbon on it, tie a bow on it, you know, whatever. So closing comments. And then if you don't mind after that, close us in prayer and then we'll really tie a ribbon on this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that the last thing I would say is just remember. And if that's hard for you, or if you don't know where to start in doing that, I would say get out a little notebook and go back through your calendar. Everybody keeps their calendars, not everybody, but a lot of people keep their calendars on their phone. And when you can go back and look at your calendar, it will jog your memory of things you did or places you went or people you met. And I believe that that can begin to cultivate, I'm going to say it, that space of remembering all that God has done. We, you know, don't be discouraged. Don't get stuck. If you're in that space, I know I am, of going from one location to another, you're on your journey to that promised land. Don't get stuck in the valley. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep walking. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't get stuck. And just remember, really remember what he has done in this process. We're coming up on the end of a 4-year time period that's been very, very difficult for the entire world, regardless of your political beliefs, regardless of your religious beliefs, literally regardless of anything. This 4-year window has been some of the hardest, darkest times that our world has seen in our generation. And I believe that we are coming to an end of that. I really do. We still got some months to get through, but I believe next year, this time, it's going to look very, very different. So I just would encourage you, take a forensic analysis of where you've been, what God's done, and where he's promised to bring you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to you and we just thank you for all you've done. We thank you for what you promised our ancestors thousands of years ago. The things you promised them have not returned void, and they still apply to us today. And so I ask that your wisdom will fall upon your followers, will give us the direction and the guidance of the steps to take, of how we step into our promised land, because every one of us are going to have these different things where you're going to say, nope, not here. You're passing through. Keep going. Honor the people and keep going. Help us to know when we're to do that, and help us to remember all that you have done in the past. I ask for just an ability over all who hear this to start to remember, to start to be reminded of all the things you've done, all the good things, because you are a good God. In the midst of this crazy world, you have not changed. You are still a good God. And so I just ask that your goodness and your mercy, as your word says, would follow your people all the days of their lives. We bless your name Thank you for this time together. And we bless all those who are listening. It is in your precious name, Jesus, that we pray and commit. Amen.
Amen. And we do have a few things we can throw up here. So I want to help you out there. And we got
and my website is up and it's awesome. I totally rebuilt my website. Everybody, please go check it out. When you get over there, just do the subscribe. You're not going to get anything. I promise. No, I'm not going to. I don't even have email set up, but I'm trying to rebuild my CRM. So if you like it, go on over and subscribe. And that way I've got you in my CRM.
So you just take a picture of the QR code there. Just pause the thing if you want to. If you're watching it on your phone, it'll still work. You'll find a way to get there. It's all down there. So go ahead, go to her her website, check out all the stuff she has there. And I think you've got a way for people to give to you on there, do you
I
not?
Do. It's on the front page. It's on, and it's working for the first time in all these years. Yep.
There you go. Okay.
I had to do it myself. I had to just get in there and do it myself. And once I did, sometimes that's another lesson. Sometimes the Lord wants you to use your own hands. Even though you don't know how to do it, he will teach you. And I finally learned how to do it, and it's fantastic.
Well, you're speaking to me too, because I worked out something. God blessed me with the full blown Adobe suite. I've got it all.
Nice.
I don't know how it all happened, but God made for it to happen. So now I've got to put on my big boy boots and edit these videos.
Yeah. So, once you get in there, it gets easier the more you do it.
So, anyway, though. So take a picture of the QR code, let it take you to her website, check out her, check out all of her, her content there. And then, like I said before, why don't you leave a little bit of money for her too? So, all right. Well, thank you for being here. I always enjoy it. We do this monthly. Sometimes we don't find the right time, but we can make it work. We make it work.
Absolutely.
So you're
Thanks
always a blessing.
Me.
I always get a lot of good feedback whenever people watch your videos. So
here's a nutritional hack anyone can master. Replace a meal a day with our Kingdom Feel.
Or if you're a mod from the gym, add a shake to your daily meal plan.
Our unique meal shakes are balanced, low glycemic, rich in fiber, 20 grams of clean protein, essential vitamins and minerals, healthy fat, and organic fruits and vegetables.
Kingdom Feel is vegan with a complete amino acid profile.
Bottom line, it's a simple start to a transformed life.
No gimmicks, just results.
Start today.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new 4-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over. Your entire order ships absolutely free.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Beauty for Ashes with Tanya Joy. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed, and remember, you were created for such a time as this.